joy to be here today and shared a lot about the ministry this morning. Let me just summarize. Our church, our ministry is all about church planting, establishing new churches in countries, especially in areas where the gospel has never been proclaimed. And we do this by focusing on two things. Number one, we help Bible schools in foreign countries that are training the national for the ministry. We help them educate these young men and ladies and help them prepare for the ministry. You can't plant churches without church planters. Then secondly, we help these the graduates of these Bible schools, we help them go out and start churches. We help them with personal needs. We help them with ministry needs. And we're doing this in about a dozen different countries, different types of ministries around the world. And my part of the ministry is a field representative. I travel to these countries. I visit these Bible schools, these churches, these men, and try to see how our ministry can be of help. And when we find a need, we share it with individuals, and we pray, ask for prayer. And as the money comes in, we just send it on and see the Lord work. And it's exciting to see what is going on around the world. Our ministry, the Carpenters Project, in the last 14 years has had a part in the establishing of over 100 churches in these countries that we're involved in. So we thank you for your prayers, for your giving. As I said in the Sunday school, this is all fruit that abounds to your account. We have accounts here on this earth, savings, checking, retirement. There's a place for all that, but we have an account in heaven. And as we are involved in the work of the Lord, and as we give of our time and of our finances to help the work of the Lord, this is going into our eternal account. And it's fruit that abounds to your account through what's going on here in this ministry. So we thank you for that so much. And again, it's a real joy to be here today. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, this morning to the book of Mark chapter 14. I want to speak this morning on the very heart of success in world evangelism. This is the very heart of success in the Christian life. And it is absolutely necessary in the area of world evangelism, of taking the gospel around the world. Mark chapter 14, beginning, we're going to read here with verses 3 through 6. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon, this is referring to Christ, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. The other gospel accounts of this tell us that this was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. There were some that had indignation within themselves. The other gospel accounts tell us that these are the very disciples of Jesus. And said, the one doing the speaking is Judas, why was this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. They murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as our sister sang, Lord, without you we are nothing. And Lord, we admit that anything of eternal value that will be done here this morning, it has to be done by you. Holy Spirit of God, we ask of you to move in our midst, that we would have hearts that are open and tender and ready to receive your truth. Reveal to us areas in our lives that are not pleasing to you, that we might deal with them. And help us, Lord, to see better how to please you in our relationship with you and in our service to you. Lord, there could be someone here that's not been born again. Could be someone here that claims to be a Christian, but has never put their faith and trust in Christ according to the Word of God. I pray you would convict that one of their need of Christ, that they would be saved today, and that we who are believers, Lord, that we would draw nigh to you, because you promised if we do that you will draw nigh to us. And Lord, we need you. We desperately need you more than we know. Even as Christians in our daily walk, we need you, Lord. So I pray that you would have your way, and that above all, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and honored, for he alone is worthy. It's in his name we pray. Amen. The subject this morning is devotion. And what we see here in Mark chapter 14 by Mary is a act an act of devotion. Devotion, having a heart for the Savior. It's been defined as serving God without reservation. Devotion, it's not what we do. Devotion is an attitude of the heart that so most certainly will affect what we do. What is involved in devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ? We're going to see three truths here in this passage. We see in verse 3, we read there where Mary has heard, along with others in the village of Bethany, where Jesus would visit from time to time, that he's in the home there of this man by the name of Simon. He's still identified as a leper, but no doubt he was healed by Christ. And Mary heads out of the house, just like everyone else, to go see where Jesus is to be with him. And as she goes, she hesitates because she knows that she can't go empty-handed. I've got to take something to show my appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as she's thinking about what that would be, she sees this box of ointment, very precious. She knows it's the right thing. She takes it, she goes into the home up to this point, probably not noticed, everyone's focused upon Jesus, but then she breaks that ointment and she pours it upon Christ, and that fragrance, it fills the house. It's said there that it might have been sold for 300 pence. Now in that day, 1 pence was a common laborer's salary for one day's work. So if you take out the Sabbath days, 300 pence is about a year's wages. So how does that compare to us today? Well, what did you make last year? The first truth in devotion to Christ is the cost of devotion. The cost of devotion. Now, I want to make it very clear this morning that salvation is free. Salvation is the gift of God. Salvation was purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. He paid in full what was necessary to satisfy the holiness of God. And if you have put your faith and trust in Christ today, your sins are forgiven and nothing can be taken from that or added to it. Eternal life is the gift of God. But devotion to Christ, after an individual is born again, that costs. In fact, Jesus said that if you're going to follow me, you have to deny self. That certainly is not what our culture tells us to do today, is it? No, it's all about self. Live for self. Please self. Pamper self. Whatever self wants, that's what you go for. Jesus said just the opposite. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must deny. And then he added, and take up your cross daily and follow me. Now, you know, we've made the cross into something beautiful, and I understand that because of what it means to us. We've made it into gold and silver. We put it on top of our church buildings. And yet when Jesus made that statement to his disciples many years ago, there was nothing beautiful about the cross. It was the instrument of a terrible, agonizing death imposed upon the Jews and other countries of the world in that time by the Romans. What is he saying when he says you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily? And he's not talking about some burden that people, I've heard people say, you know, that person is my cross or this is my, no, he's talking about every day dying. My dreams, my hopes, my ambitions, my desires, every day. The cost of devotion. It costs everything. To be devoted to Christ demands total surrender. The cost of devotion. Mary, she poured out this very expensive ointment upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But then notice, secondly, verses 4 and 5, it says here, and there were some that had indignation within themselves. They said, why was this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. The criticism of devotion. The criticism of devotion. Notice the words that are used there. indignation. They were irate. They called it a waste. And they murmured against her. Nothing good to say about what Mary had done. No one. You know, criticism, or devotion rather, to Christ will not make you popular. It will not. Devotion to Christ will not make you popular. Holiness, morality will not make you popular. But then was it not Jesus who said that the road to life is a narrow way, and few there be who find it? I'm going to read a list of names from the Old Testament. And see if there's anyone here who can identify them for me. Shamua, Shaphat, Igal, Alti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, and Gael. Any names sound familiar there? Who's that? You got it. If I had added Joshua and Caleb, you would have known. The spies that went into the land of Canaan. You know, those 10 spies, their view was politically correct. The majority were on their side. We don't remember their names, do we? Well, the pastor knew where I got them, but he probably couldn't have said any of them if I hadn't said them. I certainly couldn't. We don't remember their names, and yet they were the majority. They were the popular ones of their day. The two men who stood in the face of death against the majority, stood on the truth of the Word of God and the promises of God and knew the power of God. Those two men, those are the ones we remember. Don't be surprised where the criticism may come from. I mean, here we have the 12 disciples. 11 of them are believers. And they're murmuring against Mary and what she has done here. Don't be surprised when an individual determines, I'm going to live a life devoted to Christ, regardless of where that might lead me, where the criticism may come from, even from other Christians. I graduated from a high school, a public school, a rural part of Indiana. There were 124 students in the graduating class in the area of math and science. I was number one. And I had all kind of doors open to me. I had scholarships available. I could have gone any college, any university, become whatever I wanted to be, but God had called me to preach. And when people in my family, knowing the possibilities that there were in my life, and supposedly Christians, when they knew that I was going into the ministry, and then when they heard I was going to Haiti, the statement was made that I was wasting my life. Don't be surprised where the criticism may come from. But know this, you never waste what you give to Jesus. We only waste what we hold on to for ourselves. Well, in just a few days, Judas will be dead. Now you tell me, where was the waste? The cost of devotion, the criticism of devotion, number three, and don't get excited because I have a long conclusion. Number three, verse 6, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work. You know, up to this point, it's very likely that Mary, after the disciples start criticizing her and everyone seems to be against her, she may have been trying to find a way to back out of the house without being seen. Maybe she had made a mistake. Maybe she'd done something wrong. She thought it was a good thing, but everyone seems to be against her. But then Jesus speaks up. And here we have the commendation of devotion. Only one person agreed that Mary had done a good thing. The thing about it is that one person, he's the only one that matters. The only one that matters. We have no one to impress. We only have one to please. Mary had done the right thing. You know, we talk about peer pressure with teenagers, but it affects believers as well, adults as well. We want to be accepted. We want to be recognized. We want our peers to pat us on the back. That's human nature. That's human nature. But if the world is against us, but Jesus smiles on us, folks, that's all we need. I like Charles Spurgeon's definition of success. It's just two words. God's approval. That's it. If the world is against me, but God approves, I have succeeded. If on the other hand, the world is on my side and God disapproves, I have miserably failed. The commendation of devotion. Now, look at verse 9. And growing up in a Christian home, starting in my teenage years, reading through the Bible at least once a year, I've read through, this account is in three different Gospels, and I've read this many times. This verse, I believe, is in two of the Gospels, verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And I would read that verse, just reading through the Bible, and I would come to that verse, and I'd say, okay, maybe what she did was the right thing, a good thing, but why did he make such a big deal about it? You know, wherever this gospel's preached, that which she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. It just seemed like I couldn't quite connect the seriousness of what she had done with this statement. It didn't seem to fit to me anyway. And a few years ago, I was looking at this, and I decided I was going to try to figure this out, and I found the answer in the context, and that's where you usually find the answer. Look at verse 1. After 2 days was the Feast of Passover. This is the Passover where Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would be offered upon the cross of Calvary. Calvary is bearing down upon his soul. It says, the chief priest and the scribes. Who are these? Well, these are the religious leaders of Israel, the nation. Religiously speaking and supposedly spiritually speaking, there were none higher than these chief priests and scribes. This is the descendants of Aaron. These are the men who represented the people to God and God to the people and served in the temple in Jerusalem in that day. And the chief priest was the only one once a year that was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God. Then there's the scribes. These are those who copied the law. No one knew the Old Testament better than these men. If there were any people that should have been first in line to recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, it was the chief priest and the scribes. And what are they doing? It says they sought how they might take him, Jesus, by craft and put him to death. Then, notice verse 10. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been one of the 12? Those 3+ years. Wherever Jesus was, 24/7, being with him, hearing all of his teaching, seeing all the miracles that he had been performed, being there with him and enjoying fellowship with him. Well, Judas was one of the 12. What is this man doing? He went unto the chief priest to betray Jesus unto them. As Calvary is bearing down upon the soul of Jesus Christ, it seems like everyone around him is just concerned about themselves. He knows that in a few, just a couple days, he's going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he will be praying, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He would sweat as it were great drops of blood in agony of soul. Then they came into the garden to arrest him, and he walked right to the crowd, men that were there. They led him to the high priest. They made false accusations. They brought him to Pilate, and Pilate examined him. Pilate said, I find no fault in him because there was no fault in him. Beating, the mocking, the scourging, crown of thorns. The Lamb of God, fulfilling the law in every point in your place and mine, now being led to the slaughter, the mutilation and the torture, the humiliation and the shame. He never did anything wrong. He did not deserve any of it. It did not belong to him. It belonged to me. It belonged to you. And yet he willingly took it all. He walked up Calvary's hill, and every step he took, he could have called 12 legions of angels to come and deliver him. But there, nailed to the cross of Calvary, his body broken and his blood flowing, holy, righteous, pure God who detests and abhors sin, became my filthy, vile, wretched sin, as he did yours. And he took the wrath and the separation that belonged to us. And he died in our place. He knows this is coming. In this story here, as we read, in just a couple of days, he knows all this is coming. And here he is, the religious leaders trying to crucify him. Judas trying to betray him. He's already told his disciples that they will all flee from him and leave him alone. He knows it's coming. Everyone seeking their own self-interest. Consumed. Obsessed with self, me. But there was one. There was one who was an exception to the rule. There was one who what mattered to her was what matters to him. How can I show him what he means to me? And I think because of what he was looking at, the cross of Calvary, becoming sin, the wrath and separation, because of what he was looking at, because of this one individual that made her obsession not be about me, but be about him. That's why he said, "Wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this that she hath done shall be spoken of for memorial of her." Mary was an exception to the rule. In this day that we live, when lukewarmness and selfishness and worldliness seems to permeate every aspect of our culture, our world, yea, even many times into the church, I still believe that an individual child of God can determine, I'm going to be an exception to the rule. My life's not going to be about me. It's going to be about him. How can I please him? I believe a local church can be an exception to the rule. The members of that church combine their hearts and their minds together in unity and love and desire to do nothing but honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, in the light of Calvary, the devotion that we see in Mary, it ought not be an exception. It ought to be the norm in the life of every child of God. Everyone thought that Mary had given too much. I think that Mary felt like it was still too little. It wasn't enough. People will often say to my wife and I, 30-some years in the country of Haiti, you've given so much. Folks, in light of Calvary, we've given nothing. Nothing. I like David Livingstone. He was back in England, and after many years in Africa. And he was preaching in a church, and the pastor was introducing him, and the pastor said, was talking all about all of the sacrifices that David Livingstone had made to be a missionary in Africa. And when David Livingstone got up to preach, he said, "When you talk about my service in Africa, please do not use the word sacrifice. This is my reasonable service." David Livingstone also made the statement, "If the commission of an earthly king is considered an honor, why is the commission of the heavenly king considered a sacrifice?" I like what one missionary wife said. "Sacrifice? That word is not for me. Gladly will I take my cross and follow thee." What was the difference? What was the difference between the disciples, 11 of them were believers, born-again believers, and Mary? These disciples, they got it wrong. They criticized Mary. They got it wrong. But Mary, she got it right. What was the difference? The disciples were focused on the worth of the ointment. But Mary was focused on the worth of the Savior. And that was the difference. That today, our lives will be focused upon the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be when I proudly said to Jesus, "All of self and none of thee." All of self and none of thee, all of self and none of thee, when I proudly said to Jesus, "All of self, none of thee." Yet he found me, I beheld him bleeding on the cursed tree, and my wistful heart said faintly, "Some of self and some of thee. Some of self and some of thee. Some of self and some of thee." And my wistful heart said faintly, "Some of self and some of thee." Day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, "Less of self and more of thee." Less of self and more of thee, less of self and more of thee, brought me lower while I whispered, "Less of self and more of thee." Higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered. None of self. All of thee. None of self and all of thee. None of self and all of thee. Lord, thy love at last has conquered. None of self. All of thee. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for our Savior, Lord Jesus, who never looked back, but walked that road, took our place, or we will never understand what it meant for him to become sin, separated from you, drinking the cup of the wrath that was ours, that we might not have to drink it. Lord, if there's someone here that's not born again, help them to see that this cup that Jesus drank upon the cross of Calvary, he drank it for them, and they can be saved today, lest they die without Christ and they drink it themselves for all eternity. Lord, I pray that we who are born again would realize that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. You have every right to demand our service, but it's our choice. You want our service to be of our own free will. You deserve it all, but we make the call. I pray this morning that as we consider that you are worthy, that everyone here would make the right call. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pastor.